Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
End of the road, but we're in luck. Publishers are interested, just like Jim the Duck.
I got it.
Winkler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Greenville, with all of our friends. The brightest timeline never goes away. Community building is here to stay.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about season 6, episode 9 of Community Grifting 101. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler here. I am joined here by somebody who grifted all of you into creating community building by threatening to do it if we didn't have 1,000 patrons by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on New Year's Eve 2020 flat, right? That was it, right, Jess?
Yes, it was 2020.
2020 flat. Jess Sterling. Jess, I feel like community building has been one long grift in many ways.
Listen, it's been a long con. It worked. We did it. It's been a few years since we started this con.
Has it been a grift or a lie? That's the question.
Por que no los dos, as they say.
I think it would be a lie if it turned out that, like, I had all this time secretly I'd watched all of Community.
That would be terrible.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if this entire time, now that would put my pool shark gambit to shame, that if it turned out this entire time I had actually seen Community and I've been lying through my teeth the whole way through. Now you don't know if that's not true. I switched briefcases on you.
I was just going to say, have you brought your $150 briefcase
with you? I haven't brought my $150 briefcase with me, but I have brought my pretty good friend to the podcast. He is one of the hosts of Pretty Good Friends, currently going through season 1 of Friends over at the Pretty Good Podcast, the great Av Sinensky. Av, do you think I'm lying? Do you think that I've seen all of Community? What's your read?
I hope you're not lying. I mean, this would be the greatest twist in, you know, podcast history, I think. I mean, I know I'm excited to be here. I can't believe where this might go next. As required, I procured my regulation microphone. And, you know, at $150, I kind of feel like I was grifting you.
I think that you may have been grifting us all along. I think the bigger grift would be if it turned out that, like, I never liked Lost. I thought Lost was bad. I thought the ending
was
bad.
You're a really good liar.
I thought that it ruined the show. And that it was just a lot of, like, feigned enthusiasm the whole way through down the hatch.
Gosh.
That wasn't a lie. I love Lost, obviously.
That is the kind of commitment that a true grift requires, and you know, that would be admirable if that's what was happening in any of those directions.
James Sawyer Ford. A classic grifter, I think we
classic.
Can all agree. Yeah, a classic grifter. Community itself, often a bit of a grifter. You think you're walking into an episode of the show expecting one thing. You walk away with something else. This one's pretty cards up. This is just like, this is the grifter episode. Matt Berry's here to grift the kids, and then they'll grift them back. And that's really exactly all we're going to do the entire episode is just do some grifting. Some grifting is happening here.
Yeah, there's not a storyline B. It is all A all day. That is what we're doing this episode.
I don't know that I'm going to give it an A, though, I got to say. I don't know that I'm going to give it an A. I got to tell you. I don't know that I'm totally feeling what the community is putting down here in the Yahoo screen era. Av, were you Yahoo screening community back in the day or what?
No, definitely not. I was out well before Yahoo, I believe.
Yeah.
It was on something in between, right? In between NBC and Yahoo, there was something in the middle?
No, there was the showrunner change. Dan Harmon getting fired and then coming back after the gas leak. And then season 5 is still on NBC. And then it's canceled. And then it's Yahoo screen. Gosh, it sounds like somebody who knows all of that may have watched all of Community before doing the Community Building podcast.
So knowledgeable about Community, Josh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think I exited around season 4, the first go-around, and have only now refound it through here. And I've enjoyed the majority of what I've seen of the new episodes for the first time, but like it all, and this episode I think falls in that category, it all kind of feels like a facsimile of like seasons 1 to 4 of Community, trying to, you know, write spec scripts and, you know, it's still like enjoyable enough for the most part, but
that's such a good way of putting like spec scripts. Like this feels like Community VR to me. Like this feels like this is like sort of like we're in the Community simulation, and it's close to Community, and sometimes it's great Community. We've definitely had some really good season 6 episodes, I thought, but like maybe part of this is Jess. I feel like I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. I don't want to throw anyone under any buses ever for any reason at all. Maybe a couple people that I wouldn't mind throwing under buses, but not a lot. It's a small, short list.
Right.
I feel like, have I not been told that, season 6, it's going to get going. Really going to get going at a certain point.
I mean, I will say, I think some people really like this episode. Like there are certainly people who love Grifting 101.
Okay.
I feel like this season is more just uneven than it is like ramps up.
Yeah.
Like, there are like hot spots, I would say, of like, this is a really great episode. And
Foxy Brown once sang about those things. Yes.
Like flash in the pan greatness. And then it's like, okay, like Advanced Safety Features, right? Really fun, excellent episode.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, then Intro to the Recycled Cinema is kind of like, okay, it's okay. We're all right. We're good.
Sure.
And I feel a similar way about Grifting 101.
Yeah.
I think it's one that people either really love or are more like,
I didn't hate it by any like Matt Berry's here. Laszlo.
Hell yeah.
You know, that's my guy. Big old What We Do in the Shadows. Like, love Laszlo. He's like really in like major Jackie Daytona mode in this episode in the first place. And like that's very, very fun. But like I put thought into my meow meows today. Which I don't always do. It doesn't happen every single time. But as I was rating the characters, it's like, gosh, what's going on here? It's like very, very mid with so many of these characters. So I think my feeling is like, this feels like a mid to like a good to mid episode of Community. And for that reason, I think I might be a little harsher on it than is necessary. I see Aaron in the chat. Aaron is watching live. If you're a patron poster recaps, you can watch Community Building live as it tapes. And Aaron says, I'm about to get my feelings hurt, aren't I? Aaron, not on purpose. And it's not in my intent to hurt your feelings. And maybe by the end of this episode, I'll switch briefcases with a version of myself that has a higher score and more optimism for Grifting 101. But I was a little sleepy watching this one, I have to say.
Kind of like the sting, I guess, right? Puts you to sleep.
Okay, so before we came onto the podcast, I thought that this was very courteous of you, Av. This is like a very kind, like good looking out seasoned veteran podcaster move. We were about to hit record, and Av says, wait, hold up, hold the phone. Before we start doing this, is it cool to spoil the sting? To which Jess and I both hurriedly said, yes, please. Neither of us have watched The Sting.
Spoil The Sting. Okay.
The Sting is wildly referenced throughout this episode. Free carte blanche to spoil The Sting. And if anybody's been saving The Sting for themselves, pause the podcast. Seek out The Sting.
It only takes half a calendar day.
Watch The Sting over the course of a half a calendar day. return to community building, and then proceed forward. So have you seen The Sting? Does this episode work as an homage to The Sting, or is it really just a like a big we're bagging on The Sting kind of an episode?
No, so I mean, it really is like the Sting is interwoven throughout this episode. Like the all the like the title cards that's straight out of The Sting. Yeah. Like the stakeout, the payoff, the twist, all that. Like in The Sting, there's like 11 of those. So that's straight out of there. The what's it called? The Entertainer song that plays throughout, and the theme song that's straight out of The Sting.
Chopsticks.
Yeah.
Is it Chopsticks? No, it's not Chopsticks.
It's called The Entertainer. It's like a remake.
Oh, it's called The Entertainer. Yeah. The whole time I was thinking it was Chopsticks.
I mean, I think this song's a little more complicated than Chopsticks.
I like Chopsticks. Yeah. I used to be able to play Chopsticks, Joshua, on the keyboard.
Yeah, that's because like that's the starter pack.
No, you do when you get to two hands, it's really difficult.
Chopsticks is the starter pack, isn't it? Blah 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 blah. Anyone can do that. Just about
I definitely can't do what you just
anyone
said.
That's so upsetting.
Anybody can do Chopsticks. If you're a big Chopsticks fan, I hope
that
you're.
It takes like multiple fingers
me.
On both hands.
You can do Chopsticks. This is like anybody can play the Chopsticks, I think. The song Chopsticks is easier to play for me than to wield the actual device.
It's not like Hot Cross Buns, you know? Like.
Yeah. Well, The Entertainer, classic song. I think The Entertainer rises past The Sting for me because I'm very familiar with the song, as well as the Billy Joel version of the song. I think an entirely different number.
Yes.
but the rest of the... So this episode feels like it is really aping that movie.
Very much so. There's a lot of homages to it throughout. And, you know, I kind of feel about this episode similarly to how I feel about this thing, and that I appreciate it in a way more than I enjoy it. They're both a little sleepy. This thing, though, kind of like sets the tone for a lot of like the heist movies and con movies that would follow over the next 50 years. So it's almost like a parody of heist movies by itself on, you know, accidentally when you watch it, because like you just like see all the tropes very largely. Yeah. So it's interesting.
All right, well, we're going to get into all of the various homages to The Sting, including the ones that that Av will be able to clock and Jess and I will not know. We will get into other forms of debate about whether or not Chopsticks is an easy piano song for anyone to play, and so on and so forth. If you want to make sure that you are checking out this podcast early or getting a chance to watch it live as it records, there are ways to do that. You become a patron of Post Show Recaps. You sign up patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can watch us live. You get early access to community building. It is ad-free at every level. So if that sounds interesting to you, consider signing up patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Let's get into Grifting 101 on the other side of a quick commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. We're back. We're still here for the Patriots Post Show Recaps. We've gone nowhere. Consider signing up. No commercial breaks. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. Grifting 101. Directed by Rob Schrab. Written by Dan Harmon and Ryan Ridley. Why is that name familiar in this episode? Interesting. Originally airs Cinco de Mayo 2015, and we begin, as we often do in the study room, with the entertainer, not the Billy Joel version and not Chopsticks.
There's like a Av was saying, there's kind of like a painting type of mural situation happening here. And they're all looking at course catalogs. Chang might have diabetes. It's unconfirmed, but he's gone to the doctor. It seems like he has a lot of symptoms, but he went to the doctor's house, which you're really not supposed to do. So that's not great.
Maybe he was really, really sick. Perhaps, that, you know, isn't that what a house call is?
No, they come to your house.
Oh.
Are you going to your doctor's houses for years, Josh? You just show up on the doorstep.
This is why I have to keep switching primary care. Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, doctors. I love Ken Jeong being the one saying that.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course. Yeah. It's incredible. Especially because he's the one. I got bit by a cat.
I got bit by a cat. Yeah.
Annie wants to take basic grifting, but Elroy offers to tell Frankie what grifting is for $5, but she doesn't fall for it.
So Elroy needs to go. Elroy needs to go to basic grifting. He's going to need to spruce up his skills for sure.
Jeff warns them against taking the class. He says he's the only actual experienced grifter here. And Annie immediately is like, oh, this is a situation where you're going to get jealous. Okay, I get it. And everyone starts laughing. Britta wants to take the class, but of course she has no money. And so Annie's going to get the money from her parents. And then Britta's going to pay Annie back, who will then pay her parents back.
This was probably the hardest I laughed in the episode, was the Britta and Annie exchange here. And Britta's like, and then I'll pay you back. Then Annie's like, well, I'll get it from your, like the whole thing was really. And then Abed tries to get into the joke. And I feel like Abed was trying to steal the joke a little bit. And it felt like another instance of like, man, they've got nothing to give to Abed. Like, there's just like nothing going on. Like, Abed can't even get like an original word in edgewise here. But the back and forth between Gillian Jacobs and Allison Brie, I did think was really, really funny here in this moment.
Yeah.
Great energy for Bitter there. I love also Elroy being excited that it's like, oh, briefcases, that's advanced.
Yeah.
But they're regulation briefcases, and they're going to cost $150.
Yes. So they're going to take their $150 briefcases and sign up against Jeff's better judgment for Grifting 101 as taught by Professor Roger DeSalvo. Love Matt Berry here. If people have not been checking out What We Do in the Shadows, I don't know what you're doing. Very, very, very good show. Have you guys been checking out What We Do in the Shadows?
I'm about 5 episodes into season 1. So
okay,
I've been enjoying it. Matt Berry is by far the best part of that show. So I love seeing him here. He's a little bit underused. Like, his best skill is just like, we see it a couple times, his just like ability to just like string together these like nonsensical phrases and like his elocution and delivery. He's just like top notch. So it's fun having him here.
Yeah, he could have been given, I think, a bit more to work with here, but anytime he's on screen, he shines. So here he is. He, much like James Sawyer Ford, has many different names. Jeff Goulash, Philip Switch, and Boz Ravish. Is that right?
Yes. the last name Goulash. Yeah, it's just so perfect.
I laughed at this part too, where he takes his hat off and throws it at the coat rack. He's like, oh, well, do you think I did that on purpose? Maybe I did it just to get you to think about it for, and then he throws it again, more than a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. And his, much like, it reminds me of when Jeff first became a professor, he gives them quite a dud assignment to start passing their briefcases back and forth to people next to them. 40 minutes they have to do this for. And
what do you think is easier, Jess, to pass briefcases back and forth for 40 minutes or play chopsticks on the piano?
Passing briefcases, it's much easier.
It's 40 minutes of sustained briefcase passing.
So what's going to happen? Your hand's going to get blistered?
Yeah, and your arms are going to get tired.
Your arms are going to get really tired.
They're empty briefcases.
Yeah, but the passing of the back and forth.
Like moving your shoulders. You can't move your arms a bunch of times in a row without it hurting.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. What's easier, that or chopsticks?
Chopsticks, I think, is a lot easier.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier.
I don't know how to play piano, but like they teach it to like 4-year-olds, right? Yeah, like they pick it up.
You can learn chopsticks in 10 minutes and you would be still passing briefcases for a half hour for the length of a Community episode.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I could watch a YouTube video and play chopsticks 10 minutes from now, I bet.
Just saying.
I'm being personally attacked today.
Welcome to Community Building, folks, in which we personally attack each other for the things we've never seen or done. Yes.
Abed wants to have his own pseudonym, so he says his name is Slick Pocket Tucker.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I like that.
Just fun. And the next thing they have to do is now they're going to pass two briefcases back and forth.
Jess, is Mulch your grifter name?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. I like it. They're passing all the briefcases back and forth, and Professor DeSalvo is just like laughing to himself because it's working.
He loves this.
The grift is on.
And then in the cafeteria, of course, the group comes in. Jeff immediately knows what has happened. He's like, they're like, yeah, okay, it's a ripoff. He keeps trying to sell us stuff. Briefcase swapping talcum for grifter's palm, briefcase hinge oil for silent switcheroos, and something called extra believable socks.
Yeah, Av, what are extra believable socks, do you think?
I think they are like, so you know, there's ankle socks, and then there's the high socks. So it's high socks, but it gives the illusion of being ankle socks somehow. So that way, you get the best of both worlds.
That sounds like a grift because that seems impossible.
I'll give them to you for half off. How do you like it now?
I'm interested. I'll take one sock. I'll start with one sock and see how it works. Yeah.
So Jeff is really, he's really rubbing it in. He's really, I told you, sewing all over the place. And they say they want to grift the professor back, but Jeff doesn't want to help. And they say, you don't want to take this guy down. He's even lazier than you. Doesn't your species consider that a challenge? Yeah. Shouldn't you be having some reverse pissing contest?
Yeah, at which point Chang starts being like, wait, that's where you suck it back up in? And then he's like, they're like, have you done that before? And I think he says the other way. am I to understand that Chang has like reverse pooed? Did I get that right?
Well, I think he has only pooped. He's never peed, it sounds like to me.
Okay, wait. So he's never peed before? He's just been pooping?
I mean, it doesn't sound plausible, but that's how I understood his words.
I think Chang is a grifter.
Kevin?
I remember Kevin.
Yeah, that's true. Jeff claims to be the grifter of the group, but Chang has grifted all of them for much longer.
Truly.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So Jeff immediately is going to get on board because he goes to his own office. DeSalvo is sitting at his desk drinking his scotch.
Yeah.
And they're now office buddies. And yeah, it's basically Jeff is like, listen, grifting is just lying. Come on now.
We get into like the real back and forth of if grifting is lying, that's the same as saying a string is a sweater and paint is the Sistine Chapel. Is this a false equivalence, Av, do you think, or whose side are you on in this argument?
I'm on DeSalvo's side here. I think a grift is something different than just lying. There needs to be some element of like outsmarting and some element of a plan. It's a very interesting word, and it's a word that I think has become like much more embedded in the culture since this episode aired. It was kind of like interesting to watch this without this episode having the benefit of the last 8 years, where like grift is like the most like commonly exchanged insult on social media. It's like the worst thing you could tell someone, right? Is that like you don't actually think what you think, you're just like trying to get people to give you money. It's just so embedded in our politics and our e-commerce. It's just like the whole internet existence is like, am I being grifted or is this real? So it's just like a fascinating thing.
I think that the lie is a component of the grift,
right?
You gotta have charm to be a grifter.
You gotta have a high charisma score.
You gotta get that
riz up for sure.
I feel gross that we both just said riz.
I think you gotta have riz if you're gonna be God's paintbrush, let alone to become God himself, which would make you better than Jeff Winger. Apparently DeSalvo is the Lord. Who knew?
Apparently. I mean, we knew his name was fake, so.
One of his identities is God? It'd be a heck of a grift.
Yeah, and he's very, like, self-important, right? He's talking to himself in a mirror, like... This guy.
That's not something that Laszlo could do on what we do in the shadows. No, so.
Certainly not.
Yeah.
So back in the cafeteria, Annie and Abed are still practicing passing the briefcases. Mm-hmm. We're just like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Jeff is ready now. He's all in. Let's grift the son of a bitch because his honor has been insulted.
I love that Annie just can't help herself from doing homework. One of the original grifts, I might add, homework.
Yes. Chloe writing in as we're podcasting saying, a grift is more of a lie than a bamboozle and less than a flim flam. I think that sounds scientifically accurate from the great Chloe.
Yes, science. Sure.
Yes, science.
So now we're at the quote-unquote setup, right? Yeah. Each student has three briefcases, and DeSalvo's just like, you're all doing great. He says, you know what? I think we're pretty close to swapping with briefcases loaded with actual fake money. This isn't real money. It's cut-up newspaper, but it weighs the same, and it costs $5 a piece, and you each need 10.
Yeah, okay. So we're setting up the big payoff at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here the setup is like very much the same, like, thematic setup of the sting, where the first move in the sting is that, so the basic premise, you got these two guys, you got Paul Newman and you got Robert Redford. This is their like follow-up to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, same director doing this movie, and they get into a fight with this mobster, and they want to figure out a way to get back at him and like steal a bunch of money from him.
Okay.
And the first move that they do is they lull him into thinking that they're like stupid and easily defraudable and like kind of like make him think that he has the power.
Okay.
So it's very much similar to what Jeff is trying to do here to DeSalvo, is like he's doing these like obviously stupid things to make them think like they're amateurs.
Right. The African telegram scheme, the Jim Belushi of grifts, the fake grift within the grift, or the double bean, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the double bean is a great name for the fake grift.
I also love the Elroy when DeSalvo is like, I'm going to say a name and I'm going to look at how you react and then I'll know the truth.
And then I'll know.
And he goes, Jeff Winger. And of course, Elroy's like, this like big facial reaction. And he's like, that's the one.
That's
it. I got you.
So DeSalvo and Jeff, they end up at the teacher's lounge where everyone's just getting drunk because the faculty lounge has just gotten out of control. And this is where they start getting into it a little bit more. And Jeff is going to agree to call off the competition. And then the person who came to deliver the telegram, I believe that's Ryan Ridley, if I'm not
correct.
Mistaken.
Yeah, correct.
It's Ryan Ridley.
We'll come to find out later on in the episode, leaves a lotto ticket, on the table. Hope those aren't the loss numbers on that thing.
And Salvo's like, I see you just tried to grift me again. I
can't stop grifting.
And Jeff says, listen, I promise no grifting. But if I'll give you this lottery ticket. If it's $1 million winner, we have to split it.
We'll split the lotto ticket.
Yeah.
Can the three of us agree on a similar deal right now? If if any of us, Jess,
ever win the lottery?
Ever win the lottery?
Ever?
In. Yeah.
In. Triple die chances now.
Yeah, let's triple our chances right now. And
only if it's $1 million or more, though.
No, come on. Let's do a little higher. If it's $500,000, let's split it.
$500,000 a third is pretty good. Yeah. Worth it? I'll take it.
$250,000 after taxes, split 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's basically nothing. All right, I'll take Jess's third too.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay.
It's basically nothing to her.
I think I got bamboozled or flim flammed. I'm not sure which one.
I've
been flim flammed again.
It's the classic reverse Jim Gaffigan.
All right, how about this? I'll take your third, and then you don't have to pay me for piano lessons when I teach you chopsticks.
You're going to teach me chopsticks. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you know chopsticks.
It's the only song I can play.
No. You can't even play Hot Cross Buns?
I don't think so.
Anyway, we're at the bar with Britta, and DeSalvo comes in, and Britta, like, accidentally on purpose reveals that her and Jeff dated at one point. And she's like, what do I need to do to get rid of you? And we'll come back to this scene because it's very important.
Is this very Sting of scenes that will be expanded upon deeper into the film?
Not really. And that's kind of what they get into in the next scene, where they talk about this thing and how a lot happens off camera, which is, you know, one of the main criticisms I would level against the Sting in like any bad heist movie, where, you know, a heist movie either needs to like have you along for the ride, or they need to do the magic trick at the end where they like show you how it's done and like how you should.
Phase sets in, and this is how you find out how Sangman did the thing.
Right. Yes. And the best heist movies do it in such a way that when you rewatch them, it's like it's all there and you should have seen it, and there's clues all the way. And The Sting, not so much.
Not so much. Not so much.
So they end up in this random closet, which we've seen them in before. It's like this empty classroom with a bunch of crap piled in it. And Jeff says DeSalvo took the bait. And then they're all confused because he's like, no, he took the bait by not taking the bait. We didn't want him to take the bait because we're going to grift him. And Ching's like, wait a minute, but we are going to grift him. And he's like, yeah, but he knows a plan, but he doesn't know our plan. And this is when Andy realizes that you don't even have a plan.
Yeah, there was no plan.
No plan.
There's no plan because he was just with him the entire time. So they haven't even gotten away from each other. There was no room, no time at all with which to make a plan in the first place. So, they're in a jam. Without a plan.
And no flim flam.
And no flim flam as well.
But Jeff is like, he needs to be better than this professor.
Yeah, so Jeff is getting desperate. I think like naturally. Jeff was on this trajectory for me at the start of the episode where it was like, okay, this seems like, okay, this is going to be a go get him, Jeff Winger kind of an episode. And then instead it's like yet another like, oh man, fragile Jeff. Fragile Jeff completely falling apart at the seams. And it's like, I've seen a bunch of these just this season. So I was really looking forward to some sort, like just last episode, which I thought was really fun with like his whole like, I have accepted that I will be the last to leave, that I will be here forever. It was like a really sad down note for Jeff. I don't need the further descent into desperation for Jeff Winger, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, his stakes are not greatly established here. Like it's, you know, the guy's kind of a douche, but like he shouldn't be this invested in it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So they decide they're going to watch The Sting to get ideas. Elroy sleeps through the entire movie.
Which is worse because the dialogue seeped into his dreams.
It's so relatable. Honestly, it's so relatable.
Yeah.
So we find out they basically made a fake building and hired 1,000 people to cooperate in perfect secrecy. And they're like, well, we can't do that. Like, we don't have the ability to do that. Jane's like, I could try to build a building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dan Harmon is very clearly like anti-heist movie. There's an episode of Rick and Morty in season 4 where they, you know, he very much parodies heist movies in a similar way and just like makes fun of the fact that like the amount of coordination that they would require, the amount of resources they would require, the way that every heist movie could just go back one step further and be like, well, actually, if you flash back 10 more minutes, we're conning them. Yeah. They literally in The Sting, they create this like fake gambling facility where it's like all staged. There's no real things going on. They're trying to lull this guy here to place bets that then they could eventually like rob him. And there's like literally hundreds of workers there that are all in on it.
I think I really do love a well-made heist movie, though.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think I even love, like, to plug your podcast off, like, a pretty good heist movie.
Right.
Like, I think it just, you got to, like, put some effort into it. If you put a lot of effort into it and it's very clever, like Inception is such a high concept heist
right.
movie. Or even, like, the Ocean's 11 movies early on are super fun. Like, I don't know. It's just it's a move.
Yeah, it's not a super high bar to clear.
No,
it's an ensemble,
really,
you know? Like,
right.
You get, the energy. Like, this is the guy.
Right. You need the fun crew. You need the crew.
You know
the crew is key.
Expect, yep. But then you also are going in like, I want to be surprised. And that's pretty fun.
I think that's maybe a piece of why I do not love this episode, because theoretically, we have an excellent heist crew. We've got a great heist crew. It's
right.
not the best it's ever been. Certain members of the crew are no longer here to participate in the heist
right.
when
but
it could have been really great. You know, and I feel like we've had heists. I know that Dan Harmon had little to do with it, and maybe this is part of why he's frustrated by it. But like, wasn't that how they got they toppled the Chang dynasty?
Yes,
was a heist.
That was a heist episode,
And you know, okay, so it was a season 4 episode. So like maybe not the best, but like they've had these moments in the past where like crew comes together and does the thing. So if we're going to do like the full-on heist episode, I wish that everybody had a little bit more of a very specific role to play.
Yeah, they need names, they need titles.
Yeah.
Who's the
forger? Who's the gymnast? You know, like I want to like get into some of these specific skills and we just kind of don't really get there.
Yeah, more so than the heist episode, this I think is more of a spiritual sequel in a way to the conspiracy theory episode, Interior Design, where it's really just like a Jeff mano-y-mano with this one professor,
sure.
and like they're both gaslighting each other.
Professor Sin, though, is
yes.
leagues yeah, right. above DeSalvo.
Right.
And speaking of, this is when DeSalvo comes in and Jeff is like, we surrender. DeSalvo calls Jeff pathetic, and this is when Britta punches him in the face. And this has to be DeSalvo's best line. You hit me with a woman's hand, you Midwestern floozy.
So Britta ends up being the one who has the most agency in the heist. So by default, I think that she is going to end up having to be my highest scored character of the episode.
Yeah.
But she clinches it even before the reveals, because the punch to the face that Britta lands on DeSalvo is DeSavage. It is like such like a full on hit right to the mouth and teeth. And like you fully buy that he would just be like knocked sideways by that. And yeah, he's going to fall down the stairs and fake all the injuries and like the blood gooing out of his mouth later in like a couple minutes. But then he'll reveal later on that this part was not part of the plan. She really did just punch him straight in the face. Not advisable behavior on most, you know, days of the week, but here in Greendale, in this specific instance, this is a very impressive hit.
Yeah, the only thing more impressive was her delivery of, I lived in New York.
It's incredible. Yeah. Anytime Britta brings up living in New York.
Everyone who lived in New York, we all know how to throw a punch like that.
That's right. I did a lot of punching.
It's upstate count.
Yeah, step away. Yeah.
I honestly, my dad did tell me when I was a kid, make sure your thumb isn't in your hand like this because you could break your thumb. Always on the outside if you have
For
to punch someone.
Sure, I know that.
Interesting. Yeah. The janitor there looked a lot like Aaron Sorkin. I don't know what that's about.
Oh, really? Interesting. A cameo, perhaps.
Yeah.
So as you said, Josh, Britta chases DeSalvo. He falls down the stairs and Chang's like, he's grifting us. And then, of course, DeSalvo bites the little blood pack thingy in his mouth and blood comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And this is when we get to the payoff, where Dean is putting money in the briefcase.
Oh, Dean's in this episode. Okay. I guess now
there.
He gets the chart.
But I did think this was funny when he's counting the stacks, not the money. And Frankie is so annoyed with him.
Yeah, I do love her doing perfect grammar there. The amount of money and the number of stacks.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Very good.
DeSalvo has like a sling, bruises. He's in a wheelchair. And I love Dean. Once again, we do offer classes, and many of them are cash only if you want to take a class.
He expels Britta. Britta gets expelled. And it's Elroy, of all people, who tries to bring history into the fight. Dean Pelton, you can't do that. Britta's the heart of this group. She started it as a fake biology group so she could have sex with Troy? No, that's not quite it. He's like, all right, I'll back off.
But honestly, okay, I think there is some truth to the saying of like, Britt is the heart of this group, right? Sure. Like, we've talked about Troy being the heart of the group. He's not on the show at this point. Britta really is the heart of the group at this point, I would argue.
I think that that's right. I think of the four main original characters still on Community. And so that's with disrespect being applied towards Dean and Chang, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think it's Britta with a bullet. I think of that core four of Britta and Annie and Jeff and Abed, there's just like no question that it goes in that order, I think, as far as like who has brought the most to the table. But Britta way ahead of the pack for me, which is sort of flying in the face of, you know, sort of the thoughts that I'd had coming into Community that like they really lose the plot with Britta. I think that they give Gillian either they give Gillian Jacobs the funniest stuff to do, or she is just that funny. That she takes everything and wields it and just like knocks it out of the park every single time, like a New York punch. So I think Britta is the heart of the group right now, at the very least, totally stacks up to reality for me.
So I also love Abed's line of Britta keeps me grounded in reality. You can't expel her with four week episodes left in a semester. So great.
Yeah.
It's like it's starting.
Yeah.
They give DeSalvo 50K to go away.
$50,000.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Britta and DeSalvo
for a week's
up.
Worth of grifting. That's a great, great rate. Very good rate. Home. Powerful rate. Yeah.
Especially in cash. Britta and DeSalvo meet up. We get the flashback to Britta and DeSalvo making an arrangement to swindle money out of Greendale. And DeSalvo compliments Britta on her grifting. This is when Britta kisses him. And she says, I only agreed to any of this to get you out of Greendale and away out of Jeff's hair. He's an idiot, but I hate watching him spin out trying to beat you.
Yeah.
And they agree they're going to meet up later at the motel. And this is when DeSalvo starts like wheeling himself down the hall and he realizes, oh no, this briefcase is a little light. It has fake money in it.
It sounds like the students have become the master grifter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is another opportunity of where I feel like, so when we flash back and we see them kiss and someone replaces the briefcase again, I feel like if it's, I know it's not a heist, but it's really adjacent to a heist. You could have shown the person doing it, right? Like you could have shown that it was Abed. You could have shown that it was like, this is this person assigned to this thing. Like, I don't know. I'm just like, give roles to people, you know?
Yeah, I do like that they show it as like completely clumsy, like as opposed to like what like the real heist movie, the real grifter would argue is that like you need this like big elaborate plan. And it's like, no, like we just like tricked you into like making out with Britta so we could swap the briefcases and steal your money. And that's all
we
need to
do. And just like an awkward hand reached in and grabbed the thing and took it. You know, the sight gag is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And this next part is really, this is like one of the highlights for me is when DeSalvo's chasing Britt and Abed. Leonard just comes in a bellhop uniform and he's selling briefcases on the trolley. What are those things called? The suitcase trolley. And there's a briefcase parade led by Garrett. Leonard then gives DeSalvo the finger, which shouldn't have made me laugh as much as it did.
Yeah.
DeSalvo chases them all the way down to the cafeteria where Dean, Frankie, and Officer Kakowski has made a return. They're waiting there. And Britta and Abed show, no, their briefcases both have fake money. And Frankie's like, oh, look, you're walking again. Look at that. How are you injured? And they all pretend they don't remember how he was injured. And Jeff is saying, you know what? It sounds like either you were the victim of a crash, artless thuggery, in which case there really is 50K floating around that you were clearly given for fake injuries, or you were targeted that you underestimated, you know, the group that you underestimated, in which case the money was given and then taken back and nobody owes anybody anything. And all you have to do would admit that you were grifted.
I was grifted.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I would say I think is probably the biggest knock on this episode is I have watched this episode now, let's say more than once.
Okay.
And it is not entirely clear to me, even now, who is in on what since when. Like,
Chang's not in on any of it.
Chang's not in on any of it, which to his credit, he immediately calls. He's grifting us. He's faking. Yeah. And he wasn't in on it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't even know who was in on it again. I mean, Britta's, it seems like, is the first one to be in on something.
Yeah.
Annie is certainly in on it. It feels like Jeff is in on it. I would assume it's everyone in that group beyond Chang and like,
including the administration. Dean is in on it.
Yes.
Sadine's handing over $50,000, assuming because he wants to like do a prank on this guy.
Right? Yeah. Right, I guess. That's all it takes.
I guess.
Yeah. If it's Jeff's plan, how hard is it for Dean to adhere to Jeff's plan?
Yeah. Fair.
This is where you get the super cut of all the times Dean has not adhered to Jeff's plan.
Frankie is someone who I would say is probably not in on it because I don't think she would agree to giving away the
I don't know that I agree. I feel like Frankie is one of the smartest people in this room that for this ruse to come through. That you would want Frankie to be
it's
involved.
True. It is very risky, though, and she's pretty risk-averse.
She's kind of risk-averse.
But she says, we not should so all Frankie go get some episode. Hot dogs.
Yeah, we should all get hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Which is weird, because I was chanting, legs, at the end of the episode.
So strange.
Yeah, it was very weird. About face. Yeah.
As a current Friends podcaster, I'm kind of annoyed at myself for choosing like the one episode from the season with like very little Paige Brewster in it.
Yes.
Yes.
What is her role in Friends as a friend?
She's Kathy. Are you kidding?
I don't know. Yeah. I've spot checked a ton of Friends, but I don't have a big Friends memory.
She is the major love interest in the love triangle between Chandler and Joey. Joey being in a box.
Chandler
in a box. Sorry.
Yeah, Chandler's in a box on Thanksgiving because of Kathy.
Well, arguably because of Chandler.
Yeah. Well, also because of Kathy. That's fair. Chandler did wrong things, but in his defense, he was getting a very sexy haircut.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll do it.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
It's a great series of episodes. Yeah. It breaks your heart every time. You can't have Joey and Chandler fighting. It's heartbreaking. Yeah. You can't.
That's bad.
In the end credit scene, we find out.
Do you think it's possible that I knew who Paget Brewster was on Friends and I just grifted you into?
You definitely didn't know.
I didn't know.
Ridley was the telegram man. His name is Ryan Ridley. 3 years ago, my life was saved by a stranger at my gym. I feel like I owed him my life. Apparently, he agreed. Now he has me do things, and I keep hoping and praying that one day I'll do enough for him to call us even. Until then, I'm just a guy from his gym.
This is cute, not hot, but I think better than, again, if it's pass or fail for me, it was more pass than fail. But I thought it was fine. I thought it was all right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. It's wacky.
It's cute.
Fun.
We'll call it Streets Ahead. All right, we've got some feedback to get into. This is from Aaron. Aaron says, I love everyone's energy in this one. Love the chanting. Love the suitcase practice. Chang's lines are classic. Totally agree about that. The briefcase swap out is chef's kiss. Love this one so much. Grift. So that's the perspective of one person who really loves this episode. Here comes Riley, who does not love this episode. Riley says, this is my least favorite episode of season 6 by quite a lot. Maybe it's because this is a rare homage for something I haven't actually seen, but this episode just feels uninspired and relatively bland for an homage episode. Maybe this is strange, but the Jeff Grifter relationship feels so very similar to Jeff and Willie from earlier this season that the episode feels repetitive, and I'm not really a fan of either episode. So Riley is a thumbs down. The wisecrack opened the briefcase, writes in, and said that this episode presented okay, but at its core, it was a bit hollow and lacking, kind of like a decoy briefcase. Wait, holy grift, did we viewers get meta grifted into watching a subpar episode on purpose? I don't know if it was that complicated.
I think they tried their best.
They tried.
Okay, well, let's do some Meow Meow Beans. We will try to do our best here with the Meow Meow Beans. And, of course, the score that I give, if you were in the episode and didn't do anything negative, but you were kind of just there, is a 2.5, and I have a couple of them. I have a pair of 2.5s to hand out. Dean's just there for me. I do think, like, him counting the stacks is funny, but that's all he contributes to the episode as far as I can tell. Abed, 2.5. What does Abed do in this one? He like tries to co-opt one of the funnier jokes of the episode, and that's it. It gives me no pleasure to give Abed a 2.5, but I gave him a 2.5. I gave Jeff a 3 because he's certainly more than just in here. And he does have some fun moments of him versus Matt Berry. But by and large, this is not one of my favorite Jeff episodes. And he's a little bit further than just in this episode because she is a participant in that really funny moment with Britta. So I give her a 3 as well. Chang probably has the funniest lines of the episode for me. I'm going to spend some time thinking about the reverse peeing and what Chang means by that. And I wish I wasn't living in that world, but I am living in that world. That being said, as the number one Chang defender on this podcast, I could only take him so far in this one. I think it's a 3.5. I think we've gotten better Chang material in the past. But I will give a full 5 Meow Meow Beans to Britta Perry. I think Gillian Jacobs is terrific, and she has been the consistent highlight for me on Community. Like, I think Chang is sort of like a real layup character for me. Like, I think there was like almost no doubt in my mind as Chang started to get going that like, oh, well, I'll go like against the grain here and really love Chang, where people probably don't love Chang that much. But Britta is the one who, of the core group of like sort of like the normal main characters, has just been such like a consistent hit for me. And it's really no different here in an episode in which she consistently hits Matt Berry in the face. So I'm going to give her a full 5 Meow Meow Beans. She's the architect of the plan at the end of the day. She is the queen grifter. So Britta gets my 5 Meow Meow Beans. Av, what did you do with your Meow Meow Beans?
So kind of on a similar note to some of the stuff you said, Dean has really nothing to do. I guess two, I don't know. You can give lower than that, but like he doesn't do anything offensive. Jeff is, I think, a really weak episode for Jeff, as we talked about. He kind of falls on himself a few times. He gives the illusion of a plan when he has no idea what he's doing. And really it's Britta who executes it when it's really set up as a Jeff versus the professor matchup.
Yeah.
Britta, I'm going to give,
what did you give Jeff?
Oh, sorry. 2.5. Gotcha. I will give Britta 4.5. I thought she has a near perfect episode. She's the one that ultimately grabs the bull by the horns. She has like some of the best energy, some of the best lines early on. 4.5 for her. Abed and Annie, I will give 3 Meow Meow Beans to each. Neither does a ton, but like they're both very themselves. I love like Abed's just like description of all the different movies is just like, you know, classic Abed. The Grifters featuring John Cusack, Angelica Houston, and almost no grifting, even though I've never seen The Grifters, really tickled me.
Yeah.
And Annie just committed to everything no matter what it is. She's still doing passing briefcases in the cafeteria, even though she knows it's a fake class. And then Chang, I'm going to give 4 Meow Meow Beans. I'm not usually one who loves Chang, but I thought he's really funny in this episode. He's spot on in nailing right away that DeSalvo is tricking them with the fake blood.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what he's talking about half the time in this episode, but it all made me laugh. So, you know, he gets credit either way.
Fair enough. All right, Jess, your Meow Meow Beans for this episode.
I gave Abed a 2.5. He's like you said, Josh, he's just like, where's the Abed from season one? You know, like he's not quite as quippy as he used to be. It just feels like they don't know what to do with him. Annie and Dean, I gave 3s to because I thought they had funnier moments than Abed. So I wanted to give them a little bit of a bump above him. I gave Jeff and Chang both 3.5s. I love the Chang not knowing what's going on. And the diabetes joke, for some reason, I thought was very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Just being like, oh, God, I don't know, right? Like, what's going on? He has no clue. I loved that. And Jeff, while I don't, like, I feel like we've seen this from Jeff before, right? We've seen the jealousy. We've seen him, like, go head-to-head against someone else for the betterment of the group. I did like that he was willing to go along with the whole game. And when Jeff actively participates in these group activities, I like him more.
Yeah.
So I gave him a 3.5 for that reason. And then Britta gets a 4. I don't think this is like 5 Britta material, but I do love the I lived in New York. It's not quite as good as the I'm not done raging against the machine levels of Britta-ness.
Sure.
But it's still excellent Britta. So I gave her a 4. We do have some movement in our in our rankings here.
We do have some movement in our rankings. It has gotten more competitive at the top. Surprisingly, there have been some switcheroos. Dean has been at the top of the season 6 Meow Meow Beans for most, if not all, of the season. He is not currently in the lead by half a Meow Meow Bean. Season 5's reigning champion Chang is currently in the lead, 105.5 to Dean's 105. It is rather tight.
And it's not even like Britta could also catch up. She's in third and she has 103.
That's it. So Britta is really in there as well. Britta has 103. She's coming back to claim her season 3 Meow Meow Beans crown. She wants to be the only 2-time winner of the community building Meow Meow Beans.
Sounds like it's going to be an interesting few weekisodes of community building coming up to crown a winner.
It will. I'll be thrilled with any one of those three. If any one of those three takes it, that's going to be great. And it's going to take a lot of legwork from the others to come even close. Annie is the closest, 85.5 Meow Meow Beans. Jeff, 81.5 Meow Meow Beans. And Abed at the back of the bus, 78 Meow Meow Beans.
This does feel right, though. I think that, like, this makes sense to me to have them in kind of two different tiers of Chang, Dean, Britta, and then yes. Annie, Jeff, Abed. It feels right. I'm rooting for Dean just because I think it would be so fun to have a different winner every season. Sure. Not so much that I would, like, ever put my thumb on the scale on it, but I do think it would be fun.
Who would do something like that? Who would do something like that?
Never.
I would never do anything like that. Dean's list points. Let's hand them out. Who are you giving your Dean's list point to? Guest star of the episode.
Yeah, I think that's just got to be an easy Matt Berry here. He's phenomenal. As I said, a little underutilized. I feel like they could have done even more with him, but yeah. I guess he wasn't as known yet. So he was just like, a guest star. So what's he going to get already?
I also ended up giving it to Matt Berry, but Jess, I was very close to giving it to who you gave your point to, who I believe is currently winning the Dean's list as of this episode.
He's tied currently.
He's tied.
He's tied for first. So yeah. I gave my point to Leonard.
Yes.
I can't. Okay.
Him furiously giving the middle finger to Matt Berry.
Yes, in a bellhop uniform. Like, if not for the bellhop uniform, I don't know that I still give him my point. I also was very close to giving it to Garrett because the way he led that briefcase parade was just incredible. But I do think this makes it more exciting because we have currently a three-way tie on the Dean's list. Elroy, Takashi, if you remember.
Yes,
Takashi,
of course.
And Leonard all tied with 3 points. So It really is anybody's game, where it's been fun because I feel like certain seasons we just see people run away with it.
I'm really excited
to kind of see where we end up, because there are a bunch of people with 2 points as well that also could pull ahead.
Sure, like Frankie could have a couple of really stellar episodes. And
yep,
she could
Britta's
pull ahead.
Cat could make a reappearance.
That's
right. We don't know.
You never know. So I think that's right. Okay, rating the episode. I did not end up switching briefcases anywhere here along the way. There was no briefcase switched. I remain harsh on this episode. And I think my score doesn't reflect necessarily the quality of the episode, but more like this is me being like, we could do better than this. We've got just a few episodes of this show left. Starting to really shape up to be a Lost season 6 in some regards. And even as the most ardent Lost defender out there, you gotta call it like you see it. So I feel like Community is arcing in that direction right now for me, which I do not like to see. So I'm giving this a 2.5 is what I'm giving this episode. That feels low. But that's also sort of the score that I give when you've basically just been there for the Meow Meow Beans. And while it is a different metric, I felt like it was sort of ceremonial. A 2.5. I wanted to like this one more than I did. A heist movie guy in the first place. So, like, this should have been fun and just wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be. Jess, what did you do with your score?
I feel very similarly. I want to like this episode more than I do. It feels like something I should like more, right? Like, there's a guest star. He's very fun. There's this whole idea. The fact that they're putting all of their eggs in the storyline A basket, I think, is interesting. But I just ultimately feel like it falls flat. And again, there's not enough for everyone, right? Like, there's not enough for Annie to do and Abed to do. And it just feels like we could have given them better jobs in this episode. I gave it a 2.6. It's extremely meh to me.
Yeah. Av, what did you do with your score? How did you rate this one?
Yeah, so I think I'm a little bit higher on both of you than both of you are without disagreeing with either of you. I think there's a lot of good bones in this episode. Like, it has like a lot of good ideas. It's trying to do a lot of good things. It feels like a Community episode. It should all work on paper. There's just like some execution that's lacking. It just all like is just like not breezy enough. The plan at the end of the day, I still don't even really understand who was doing what when. It doesn't really all click together the way an episode. If you're going to do a heist movie, you got to do a heist movie, right? To some extent. I'm going to say it's a 2.9.
Okay.
You know, above average, still well done, well made, has good stuff going on, but there's just like something missing.
Something is missing. You are not far off from the audience score. Audience is higher than Jess and myself, a little bit lower than you. 2.86 from the audience, which gives this episode a 2.72 cools overall, which makes it the second to last place episode of season six so far. Grifting 101 coming in at 2.72 right now. So I hope that we can turn this thing around a little bit, maybe take this car to the shop and tune it up. And it seems appropriate then that season six, episode 10 is basic RV repair and palmistry. So we'll get to the 10th episode of Community season six with just a few more to go after that. Make sure you're subscribed to Community Building wherever you get your podcast, Post Show Recaps Community Building, or you can become a patron. You get early access to Community Building, commercial-free Community Building, and you get to watch the episodes tape live, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. One more time, plug what you got going on, where people can find you.
Yeah, thank you. We are just finishing up season one, episode 10 of Friends, the one with the monkey. We get to meet Marcel this week. Yeah. Over at Pretty Good Friends, you could find us, myself, and Alexander Chester of 32 Fans fame. We're going through Friends season one right now. I'm on Twitter at A Sinensky, and that's where you can find me.
Are you going to do all of Friends, do you think?
We'll see. I mean, like, Chester is very much like completionist mentality, if you know him at all. But like, I've talked him into that, like, you know, if after 112 episodes, we're like, okay, we're not enjoying this anymore, we're not going to do an additional 120 out of like pot commitment. Like,
but
we're not insane.
112 is going to be the first line in the sand for you.
You know what I mean? It's just like, we're going to do it for as long as it's fun. Maybe that'll be 238 episodes. Maybe it'll be two seasons. But, you know, we're enjoying it for now. Yeah. It's very much a time capsule. It's just like, there's so much just like random 90s, just like, how was this even a thing that like people wore, that people did? It's very fun.
Yeah, yeah. Jess, what kind of shit have the 90s taught you recently, and what else is going on in your podcast world?
So here on Post Show Recaps, of course, Sarah and I are almost done with And Just Like That. Just so much happening there. We talked about Aiden returning. There's drama with Aiden. Of course, I'm getting very nervous because we only have two episodes left, and it's like, how are they going to end? What's going on? And then Josh and I, of course, we're covering Billions, baby.
Billions, baby.
Billions, baby. I'm excited.
Are you a Billions guy?
I watched it to a point. I think I watched until like the pandemic season, and then like it kind of lost it from there for me.
Yeah, I think that probably a bunch of people did similar watched this similarly. Yeah.
Like when COVID was like literally starting to happen in the show as it was happening in real life, I was like, okay, I'm out.
It was a little bit too much. Yeah. But it's here for its final season, Billions is. So over on the Succession podcast feed, we are watching the final season of Billions through a Succession lens. I think we're going to bring a lot of our Succession friends along the way to talk about a show that predates Succession, of course, and much like Succession is wrapping up this season. The goal is, if you haven't watched Billions, that the podcast will still be fun. So if you're just interested in hearing Jess and I talk about a bunch of really awful rich people, check out the podcast. I think you might enjoy it.
So from my understanding, Billions now is kind of like a spinoff of itself in some ways, that like the central characters are not all relevant. Is that the case or not really?
Most of them are still there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's quite accurate.
No. Okay. So Axelrod is still in the show. I thought he left the show.
It started trending in the direction. I think it started trending in the direction of like, oh, we're overstaying our welcome. But without spoiling too much of what we've seen in the final season so far. No, I mean, Bobby Axelrod's all over the trailers, so yeah.
Okay, fine. All right. Sorry. Yeah, I guess I'm behind.
Back.
I don't know.
We're back. Yeah. So
do you think it would be a good time to jump back in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now's the time.
Now's the time. I mean, if you made it through five seasons of Billions, you should watch season six. You know, it totally reshakes the format. Different character getting a different spotlight, raised in prominence on the show. You should see a little bit of that if you made it through five seasons of Billions. But if you just want to see what's going on, I think you'll pick it up about as well as I've ever picked up Billions, which is to say, like, that person doesn't like that person.
Right.
And those two people seem to be aligned, but they have history. Like, it's going to be a lot of that on the podcast. Yeah, I think it's going to be that kind of a vibe. So if that sounds fun,
so.
Billions pod. Yeah, I think that's going to be it. Of course, I'm at Ron Howard. Wherever you can find me here on post-show recaps, doing Battlestar Galactica down the hatch, talking about Justified, City Primeval, talking about Only Murders in the Building season three, which has been wonderful so far. Really enjoying that. And of course, the 30 Years Greater podcast from myself and Rob Sesternino. We recorded Free Willy earlier today. A little bit of a spicy Free Willy podcast. So,
God. Who gets spicy talking about Free Willy? Man.
Apparently, we do a lot of talk about Carvel ice cream cakes getting thrown around. We talk about the Fudgy the Whale of it all. Really fun podcast that should be coming out in a day or so. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you are coming back for more Community Building next week, season 6, episode 10. We'll see you then. And until then, Corey B, take us away.
End of the road, but we're in luck. Publishers are interested, just like Jim the Duck.
I got it.
Winkler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Greenfield, with all of our friends. The brightest timeline never goes away. Community Building is...
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here's Dave.
Get out of here.